It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Trey back with you. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. And now we go to the man who finished number one on the Voluntary Reaction War Daddy board this week. It's Bear with the top five at five, Bear.
Thank you, Russell. Number one, Tennessee firing defensive line coach Jimmy Brumbaugh after just four games of the program has raised eyebrows. Barrett Slee, writing on CBSSports.com, says the move is shocking considering the Volunteers are currently tied for third in the SEC in tackles for loss per game at six, and fifth in opponent red zone touchdown percentage at 53.33%.
I'll say this. Our D-line, and we'll give them a pass because it's Bama, but after that, they better be damn dominant. You fire Brumbaugh, like, we better be awesome
defensive. We better in the season at least number three as far as tackles for loss and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the real story ever, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like we're getting a real story for why this guy got fired. Other than, I mean, we just in agreement Pruitt didn't like him.
No, I think it had to do with Ainsley as well.
I think some of it's is already out there, but I agree with you, Bear. I mean, I think there's more to the story, and be interesting to hear.
They haven't been on the same page for the last 6 weeks, and they just Jeremy just picked the wrong whatever.
Got up on the wrong side. Yeah, he got his ass kicked by Kentucky, and he's looking for a scapegoat, and he doesn't have the guts to look himself in the mirror and realize that his college roommate, Will Friends, is dragging his career down and his quarterback. Like, I seriously think you fix those two issues. I'm not saying it's salvageable and it's a magic pixie dust and everything's great and we're rolling. But if you get yourself an offensive – you fire Will Friend and let Jim Chaney go out there and find – an offensive line coach who he can work with, and you just completely move on from Garantano and never go back, I feel like that gives you at least a chance to get out of this. But he's not going to do either one of those things. And I guess Jimmy Brumbaugh is the scapegoat. So if that makes anybody feel better, then, hey, more power to you.
Absolutely. Number two. Staying in the SEC, LSU Tigers quarterback Miles Brennan has, I love these things, Russ, a significant lower body injury, and he is questionable for Saturday.
You love significant lower body injuries?
It's just the
terminology.
Yeah. What the hell is significant lower body injury?
He hurt his leg?
a threshing machine on the farm? What the hell happened?
Yeah,
got a Ramel Keaton.
Tragic. Oh, yeah, he got stomped on. I like that, too. It's just losing our composure. And that starts at the top,
that,
too,
that
man.
That Bears war daddy number one player of the week was Ramel Keaton.
Well,
high motor on
I know you like it, but the sad fact of the matter is, how can you expect your players to maintain their composure when the head coach won't? I've never seen that before. I mean, Butch Jones used to go absolutely stark raving mad on the sideline and loses cool and all that stuff. I don't remember him ever getting a penalty for it, and Pruitt got penalized. And so how can you –
What? I didn't understand. What happened with that?
He went crazy on the referee. He's out on the field cussing the ref. Like, you know, if
– He was in the end zone.
If – how can you as a head coach get in Ramel Keaton's face and talk about maintaining your composure and being disciplined when you're a grown-ass man and you can't do the same on the sideline?
Pretty wild, man. I had no idea that's what it was for, though. So
I mean, I'm assuming. I don't know exactly what was saying. He was going berserk on the sideline.
I mean, he's in the end zone. He's definitely out of what they call the coaching box, isn't he, Trey?
Yeah. He makes about
just a bit outside.
About, 35 yards?
About that.
Here's a wild story, boys. Number three. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded future draft picks to the New York Jets for defensive tackle Steve McClendon. Now here's where it gets kind of wacky. So Steve McClendon was with the Jets when they played Miami yesterday, got shellacked, correct?
Okay.
Steve McClendon left that game, got in his car, and drove to Tampa Bay. Did not return to New York with the team.
Wait, what?
I don't understand.
I don't either.
Steve McClendon, who the Buccaneers traded draft picks to the Jets for yesterday, he was a New York Jets defensive tackle.
Right.
As of yesterday. At some point, I don't know if it was after the game or what, the Buccaneers made the trade, pulled the trigger on it. Steve McClendon did not, he just hopped in his car and drove from Miami to Tampa Bay, apparently. He's done. New York is the worst football team ever.
Yeah, Jamison Crowder.
Oh, they were playing down there.
Yeah, the Jets were in Miami.
Jamison Crowder gave my fantasy team nothing. Nothing.
I got the same guy.
After he was like putting up like 10 points a game before that, and just nothing yesterday.
It really agitated me because I'm playing Hayden Wallen, and I really want to beat his rear end.
Number four. It's kind of a wild one. Not really wild. I'm kind of a little bit surprised with this. NASCAR has reinstated Kyle Larson, Russell. They announced a reinstatement of Kyle. He will be cleared to return to all NASCAR racing activities on January 1st, 2021. They released the following statement. NASCAR continues to prioritize diversity and inclusion across our sport. Kyle Larson has fulfilled the requirements set by NASCAR and has taken several voluntary measures to better educate himself so that he can use his platform to help bridge the divide in our country.
Good for him.
What kind of measures is he taking?
I don't know.
White fragility hired. And woke. I don't know. Is he going full woke?
It's not even wokeness, dude. He dropped it. He dropped an N-bomb.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like, how do you come back from that?
I don't know.
How do you go from that to being a, what did they say, a bridge to diversity or whatever 1984 type language we're using now?
With that being said, I imagine he will. Wouldn't you think he's going to get a ride, Trey, as good as he is?
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to be in the Hendricks car. I think he's taking over for Jimmy, but they're going to switch the numbers.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hendricks.
Once again, on a side note, you know, either you can or you can't, regardless of the sport. And if you're that good, they're pretty much willing to overlook anything.
Bubba's got a replacement in his car. So,
all right. And finally, number five, Charles Barkley, Steph Curry are going to replace Tiger Woods and Tom Brady for the latest charity golf match. Phil Mickelson and will partner with Charles Barkley in a match against Steph Curry and Peyton Manning on November 27th at Stone Canyon Golf Club in Arizona.
So basically, it's can Phil carry Charles?
Well, yeah. Here's the quote from Phil. While we may need a handicap for Chuck, I'm looking forward to playing with Peyton and Steph and to help raise money for an important cause. It's also going to give fans and viewers an up-close look at Stone Canyon Golf Club, a place I'm extremely proud of and excited to show how special it is.
All right, that'll be fun. All right, there you go. The top five at five, Bear. It's brought to you by our friends over
at
FanDuel.
FanDuel.
Yes. Would you like to perhaps elaborate, tell us a little bit about FanDuel, Bear?
Yeah, caught me. You apparently don't read any of your texts I send you. All right. FanDuel sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit is required. They're America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then getting it locked in. Unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel gets your cash to you in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing for you to do is to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code DRIVE1 to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, please call 1-800-889-9789.
Thank you, Bear. Real quickly, before we get back to the busy, busy G3 Help Me Hotlines on this Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange, I'll read you the five things I wanted to see. Y'all tell me.
Oh, my God. Do we really have to go through it? Did we hit any of them?
I don't know. You tell me. Number one, jump on them early.
No.
Number two, dominate on defense. We did that like
not
for
bad.
The first half, and then they quit.
Not bad. I mean, you can't get 14 points to the opposing team. We outgained them, I'm pretty sure, even at the end of the game, didn't we?
The game
should have been 13-7 entering the fourth quarter.
I'm pretty sure we had 212 yards of total offense at the half to their 79. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then the
– all right.
All right. Number three, offensive line, bounce back.
No. No.
Number four, mask discipline.
The other one,
he successfully wore a mask for four quarters of football.
Which, by the way, I've done some research, boys, into the mask thing. Those mesh masks that Kirby and the Demented Dwarf wear, that was invented. It's got some kind of nanotechnology. It was invented at Auburn, which if you want to risk something that was invented at the barn protecting you from potentially deadly virus, be my guest. I'm going to stick with an N95 myself.
Number five, play a clean game.
No.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. It's Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange.
The Drive.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel.
Oh, my God.
I focus on the pain.
What's the point anymore?
Holy shit.
Don't sing it.
Nothing.
Okay. Be quiet.
We can do. Needle tears a hole. The old familiar friend. Stain. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange continues here on The Drive. Coming up, we'll select our North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. Let's get Ozzie, who's been hanging in it. Ozzie Data. Good afternoon, Ozzie. You're on The Drive.
G'day, fellas.
Ozzie. So I got this is Aussie Gator, Drew. He sends me on the it says Ozzie Data, like Ozzie Smith and Data, and I'm like, what in the world? That's
Aussie
Gator.
right. That's what I heard.
What's up, man?
Not much, brother. Not much. I just want to say up front, I love you guys. You fellas keep it real in all kinds of weather, as us gators say. But, I called you up last year right after the BYU game before Georgia, Florida, Bama put a beat down on you. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I said then that he was like Florida State's coach, and they got rid of him. So there's two sides of this coin that I'm going to look at real quick. I think Mississippi State last year saved his job because Florida and Georgia dropped 30 or 40 on him. Then Mississippi State, he beat Mississippi State, right, which was considered quite a good team. And then Bama came in. dropped another 40, and then you beat South Carolina. So I think those two wins kind of helped save his job. And then from then on, you know, beat UAB, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt. And I think a lot of those wins kind of disguised the situation for him. And then, of course, Indiana, he won. And I spoke to a lot of my friends who went to that game down in Jacksonville, and they said they were ready to pack it in and go home. But, you know, the Vols pulled it out. And then, of course, you played, up front, you played Missouri and South Carolina, basically two of the teams you won against last year. And, you know, two out of those four coaches got fired and the other two should have got fired. So, I mean, that's just my take on him. But if you get rid of him, who are you going to get?
Well, that's what Lars was asking before. Bear, I can't even get there, like mentally. I can't even, if you're asking for names or a list, I got nothing, man, other than to say, like, the Hugh Freeze thing's not happening. The Urban Meyer thing's not happening. We're not going down that road. So I don't know
Russ Ozzie that I've even, I know me personally, I don't know if I can get it up for another coaching search this soon.
You guys have seen the Spider-Man take where they take the masks off and it's like, you know. So I'm thinking, to be kind of honest, I think you got a Will Muschamp coach. And I know Florida's been down that road and they just don't develop offense. I mean, you've seen Will Muschamp. I mean, he's had 5 years at South Carolina and they don't seem like they care. And I mean, I think the only thing that's really helped Will Muschamp is, you know, I listened to Chuck Oliver a little bit, and he said, you know, their roster's speckled with hot spots of good players, but across the board, they're not that good. And Tennessee has some good players.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like us. But we're speckled. We got Toto's a nice player. Trey Smith is a nice player. Josh Palmer's all right. Like, we got some nice players here and there, but we have no depth and we have no consistency.
Right. And like, you know, Trey's been talking about, and we talked about it last year, you get rid of him and then you have to find another coach. And then that slides back 3 years again. And I mean, you're looking, Butch Jones put the Vols in the gutter for 2 years. So you're looking at least 2 years of where Jeremy fighting against the grain. And then basically this year and next year is where he should start making headway into with his recruiting. There'll be his players, and then you'll see his development and his coaching. But, man, I was watching your first few games, and I thought your defense was your strong point. And then for him to fire that coach, that makes zero sense.
Yeah, and I think he is a decent defensive coach, and I think we were playing hard and making some progress there. But Aussie Gator, you survived the Muschamp era, so you know what I'm talking about. When, like, you just can't keep sending that. You cannot have that level of quarterback play and expect to be successful. That's one thing if you don't have anybody on the roster, but you got to try. You got to see what else you have. And we keep sending Garantano out there. And we've known for 2 years that the kid can't play.
Right. And he looks pretty decent against Missouri. And, you know, South Carolina, he threw a couple of bad balls. But when he's on, he's on. I mean, he can throw the ball nicely and get some and move that team up the field. I saw it against South Carolina. And but then he
when it gets tough, when you got to hurry up a little bit and your decisions have to happen a little faster and you got to gamble, you got to pick and choose your spots when you're going to gamble. It's a disaster with him. And it always has
been.
Here's
the thing. I saw him listed in the top two or three quarterbacks in the SEC to get the ball out. I mean, he was listed up top.
After that first week he was. That's so weird, man. That's so weird because I guess that's a stat that somebody measured after the South Carolina game, after week one. Pro Football Focus listed all the quarterbacks in the SEC in terms of who got the ball out quickest, and Garantano was number one.
Yeah.
Which is not his MO. That, I mean, his problem is he holds on to the ball too long and he's too slow to make the decision. So that was a really weird stat. And what it was an anomaly, Aussie Gator, because we've seen him do this, play his game for so long now. It's just, but that was a weird one. He's got to make a change, man. You can't be in this situation in year
three.
Well,
what about that quarterback out of Ocala down in Florida? He seemed to play okay when they put him in against Indiana, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that's my guy, Maurer.
Yeah,
is the Maurer guy
power
you're talking about, and he was a little bit erratic at times last year. He didn't look good when he got the start at Kentucky, and JG bailed us out there. But he's got some athletic ability back there, but it just seems like
he was a bit reckless.
It seems like they're not going to give him a shot.
How do you feel comfortable? Aussie Gator, maybe you'll talk about it. How do you feel comfortable if you are a quarterback on that roster and you know JG's there? Do you actually feel comfortable going into the game knowing that the first mistake you make, you're going to get yanked?
I mean.
No.
I just feel like this is Jeremy's time now to show, and that's one thing that everybody's always struggled with Muschamp, defensive coaches, how can they just develop offense? And, Garantano, which he seems like a great guy, he really has given his all for Tennessee.
Yes.
You know, I know he's played some bad games, bad passes, but he's really stuck it out, and as much as probably all the hate he's got off the fan base, you got to remember, these coaches put these players in situations, and it's up to them to pull them out of that situation if it's not working.
Yep, it's time for change. Aussie Gator, we appreciate it, man. Great to hear from you. Got to move on here. I want to say a quick word about Knoxville. Hey, great to hear from you, man. Great to hear from Aussie Gator this afternoon. What an accent. What a voice. Folks, Knoxville Smiles, don't put off your dental visits this year. You need to get to the dentist if you haven't been. It's totally safe. It's totally clean. It's totally fine. Knoxville Smiles has a state-of-the-art facility you want to visit on South Peters Road in West Knoxville. You can take the virtual tour online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Contact them today to set up your consultation at 865-539-1776. Or again, just go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Let's get Sean in here next. Sean, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
You know, it could be a whole lot worse. We could be Jet fans.
they need to go all in on Trevor Lawrence. That's the only hope. Although, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm hoping to go just about anywhere else.
Now, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm coming back for my senior year before I'm heading up there. I mean.
Or do you
not the same guy that looked like he was rolling on X in his introductory presser?
Yeah. If you're Trevor Lawrence, do you go full Eli Manning, John Elway, and just say, I'm not playing for the Jets. Don't draft me. I'll go back to school. I'll go play in Canada. I'll sit out. I'll become a missionary.
Play in the XFL.
Yeah. Don't draft me. I'm not playing for you.
I don't play for Adam Gase. I mean, it's not so much the Jets as an organization, but that guy is horrible, and I know from experience being a Dolphins.
You saw it up close and personal, huh?
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, that's the first time the Dolphins have held back-to-back opponents to less than 148 yards, less than 150 yards passing. So there's that to be looking at. And Tua got to play a little bit.
It's Tua. I was out of it NFL other than the Titans yesterday. Tua made his debut.
Yeah, he's got mop up duty there.
Okay, and get your feet wet a little.
Went 2 for 2.
Get a few snaps.
2 for 2. Got a first down. So, as far as the Vols go, I know Bear and Trey. You guys missed my call Saturday night during our 3-hour purging session, but I was kind of serious, Russ, with what I was saying about coming off the tough loss to Georgia and looking at Bama next week. I think Kentucky got us in that perfect trap game spot.
That wasn't a trap game. That was just a Garantano melted down.
Here's the thing, and here's a thing about Pruitt, and this is one of his major shortcomings. And, Bear, you talked about it earlier. this is several times now in a little over 2 years that his team hasn't been ready to play. And over a course of a long career, that's going to happen every now and then, maybe once every 2 or 3 years. You just, for whatever reason, your team's not up. It's happened several times to this guy now. And especially in a year like this, when the stands aren't going to be full and you're not running through the tee, and it's a little bit different. It's not as hyped up an atmosphere as it typically is. You as a coach have to make sure your team is geeked when they come out of that lot, that they are ready to go. And our team come out Saturday, kind of the way they did against Georgia State last year. Just kind of, we're playing, but we're not laying it on the line. And we got it handed to us.
You need to start worrying about coming out of halftime with some damn energy. I don't know what they're doing in there, reading them their death rights. I mean, I have no idea. I don't get it.
I feel like
we were done in the first half. I'd still like to know what happened down there in Georgia.
I feel like that's two games in a row where we absolutely got outcoached the second half.
It's so alarming that we're already here, already in this space, already having these conversations that we've had several times over the past 10 years. And it's a hopeless feeling. It's a helpless feeling. It's disturbing. And I just hate it for this fan base, because I don't think it's an aberration. Trey, you're hearing some of the same things I'm hearing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It sounds like a toxic atmosphere over there behind closed doors.
It sounds like nobody's on the same page.
It sounds like a coaching staff that, quite frankly, doesn't enjoy working for this guy. It sounds like a lack of player leadership and accountability over there. And I know people will listen to this and say, oh, Nick Saban's not a fun guy to work for and everything. That's okay. That's Nick Saban. He's got five rings. Like, there's
Jeremy Pruitt needs to realize he's not Nick Saban.
Exactly. He needs to come to terms with that, and he needs to find his own personality, and he needs to figure out a way to get his team back, because this thing could really go off the rails if he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, go off the rails quick. I mean, an unenthusiastic performance when that shouldn't be the case against the number one team or number two, depending on which poll you look at, coming into town on Saturday. No, it should be – it shouldn't be a hard time getting up for that game.
You better be ready. Otherwise, I mean, it's a 3:30 CBS game, and they're liable to beat you 70-0.
But here's what's telling to me, and I know we're up against it. Somebody told me this yesterday, and they told me Jeremy Pruitt is taking this week different than any other week of the college football season because it's Alabama. And I'm like, you know what? In my mind, I'm thinking, when I'm told that, well, that ain't the right way to go. Like, you're not accomplishing anything, making this week bigger than any other week.
What, like you're going to kick it up a notch now?
Well, it's that, and also I don't think he's going to try to throw in, you know, a whole different defensive package during the week, you know, on a Wednesday. You know, I've told you guys about that. It shouldn't be nothing different about Alabama than should be any other school in the SEC, especially in 2020.
Take a quick time out. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Let's talk a little high school football here real quickly. It's your North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. Bear mentioned Fulton, who's had to shut it down for a couple of weeks due to COVID today, had a come-from-behind victory against Campbell County senior Mac McCovery. Two rushing touchdowns in that one, including one that covered 97 yards. I can only imagine that was Derrick Henry-esque. Whew. Kneel before your king.
That guy can fly.
Maryville beat Ottawa over the weekend. Carson Jones has a really nice season for them. He completes 18 passes for 211 yards and two touchdowns, and the Red Rebels win against the Owls. You had Oak Ridge, big win against Mount Juliet. Kendall Jackson, who I believe has a Tennessee offer, junior running back out there, 26 carries for 160 yards and two touchdowns in the win. They also had Cole Adams on defense, four tackles, fumble return, 40 yards for a touchdown in that one. And Mason Collins of Farragut leading a stellar defensive effort. The Battle of West Knoxville went to the Admirals again this year, 45-17 over Bearden. Mason Collins, eight tackles and two picks in the Admirals' 45-17 win. This week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week is Webb High School's, and I hope I pronounced this correctly. I apologize if not. Joey Bonifacio. 18 tackles. 18 tackles. Wow. Yeah. That was a busy night. Webb beat Silverdale 42-24 Friday night. Congratulations to Joey and the Spartans on the W. And he's our North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. So appreciate North Knox Siding and Windows, all their support these many years here on the show, all the things they do for our local community, in addition to the great work they do as a business. And I always remind folks, if you need anything done the outside of your house, I know those leaves are starting to fall. You want to make sure your gutters are good. You want to make sure they're not clogged. You want to make sure they're not broken. If you want to do a cover or something like that, they can do that for you as well. Siding and windows is their specialty. They do roofs. If you need a new roof, they do doors. They do handrails. They do it all at North Knox Siding and Windows. Call today to set up your free estimate. And you don't have to be in North Knoxville. They'll come anywhere. You see their trucks all over town these days, West Knox, East Knox. Even so, no. Get that free estimate, folks. 865-689-0505 is their number. That's 689-0505. Or just go online, shop around at NorthKnoxSidingAndWindows.com. North Knox Siding and Windows. Back to the G3 Help Me Hotline we go. Travis is next. Hello, Travis.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Much, man. How you doing?
It's a pretty rough Monday here in Huntsville, Alabama. You imagine all the stuff I've heard today. Hey, I got a question for y'all. Do you think Fulmer's going to get to hire the next guy?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't think so, and here's why. And first of all, we're assuming there's going to be another guy for this conversation. I'm not assuming that IRL, but we'll just play out Travis the Negaball scenario here. I think if you have to make a coaching change in a year or two, and Fulmer's 70 now, you don't want a situation where he hangs it up. He hires a coach, and then he hangs it up a year, turns it over. Like 2 or 3 years in, and the next guy comes in, and he's saddled with a guy. Like, you want the new AD to pick the new coach, don't you?
Well, probably so. But, I mean, if Fulmer's wanting to keep this job for a while and his job was dependent on Jeremy Pruitt succeeding, I'd have gave him a raise and an extension too.
There's just no need for it, man. It was just so senseless. I get it. If you had pushed it through before COVID at the end of the year and said, all right, we like what he did, nobody would have batted an eye. It's what you do. He just won 6 games in a row in a bowl game. He's still not paid at the top of the league or anything. You're giving him a nice bump and rewarding him for his success. But once COVID hit and we spent all summer talking about how this changes everything and the bubble's finally going to burst, and now these athletics departments finally going to have to manage their finances responsibly, and you turn around and give him that money, nobody's beating down the door to hire him. It's not like we're trying to chase off other schools. And now, Travis, you're calling in talking about firing the guy, and you've just added on another $5 million in buyout money to the back of the contract.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if I was Fulmer and I suspected the season might go in the tank and I wanted to keep my gravy train rolling, I'd have gave him a raise and extension too. If it's harder to fire him, it's harder to fire me, right?
Maybe I'm being naive, Bear, Trey, but I see Philip Fulmer and I see a man who it's not necessarily about the money. I'm sure he wants the money. He's not going to do the job for free. But more than anything else, I think he wants to see his beloved football program rise back to the top. And I know it pains him what happened Saturday and pisses him off. But I don't know that if we're going to label this hire a failure and he's the one who made it, I don't know that he should necessarily get to make the next one.
Well, I just thought I'd give y'all a call, just get y'all's opinion on it. Hey, great show.
Thank you. Thank you, Travis. Appreciate it.
So at what point, Russ, do you ever see a point where if the season just goes out the window this year, why would you continue to trot JG out there when you got Bailey? I mean, the old maxim is that I would rather lose with a freshman that's going to, you know, go ahead and take his lumps now.
Well, we already threw out the theory that maybe he just doesn't want to throw him out there against Bama and maybe use the open week to turn the page and move on. And I guess I'm not going to say I'm fine with that, but I understand it and could get on board. Here's my theory.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to throw that. This is not based on any inside information. This is just Russell. This is just Russell thinking out loud. And I told this to Drew before the show. The only logical reason I can come up with that Jeremy Pruitt hasn't and will not move on from Jarrett Garantano. I can't believe I'm about to say this on the air.
Say it.
The only thing I can think of, is Garantano was a five-star dual threat quarterback coming out of high school. Butch Jones or somebody connected to the University of Tennessee paid him to come here. Cheated to get him.
Right.
And there's a paper trail. There are receipts. And Jeremy Pruitt inherits this. And he's either being held hostage and say, look, if you don't play JG, we're going to go to the press. We're going to ruin you. NCAA is going to hammer you. We've got this. And your program and your career is going to be in shambles. That's the only thing I can think of. Give me another.
The only problem I have with that.
Yeah.
Is at some point it's done on Gump that, you know, if they were really doing that, that's when you can't allow yourself to be blackmailed like that. At some point you would have to call in the authorities and be like, look, they're blackmailing the university and us to, you know, so they're
okay. So maybe he goes to jail, or whoever's doing it goes to jail. The NCAA is still going to come down and hammer you, and then your coaching career is over.
Who do you think is blackmailed?
Under Russell's grand theory that he told Drew before the show, I imagine somebody connected with the Garantano.
Give me a more plausible theory. Why would you continue to send that guy out there when he's lost you as many games as he has? Are you telling me Jeremy Pruitt's stupid that he can't see a terrible quarterback when it's on the field right there in front of him?
I don't really want to say that out loud, but I'm starting to wonder.
Yeah, okay. I'll say this. If, and you guys know the conversation that I'm talking about here, if Pruitt's willing to say that to one person, why is he not willing to say that to somebody who's made as many mistakes as he's had over the last 3 years?
Because in my theory, he can't. Because otherwise he goes and squeals to the cops, being the NCAA, and your career's over.
It's not going to end his career.
I know it's incendiary. I know it's nuts. I know it's crazy. But think about it and tell me There's no other explanation.
End Pruitt's career and get Tennessee maybe on probation.
Well, yeah. What?
That's not. It has nothing to do.
It'll
with
end
Pruitt.
His head coaching career. That's what I'm saying. Like, he won't get a show cause. It's not on him necessarily, but he's still going to be the head coach here, and will be hamstrung even more than we already are.
He'll be able to, as long as he's not the guy.
He'll be able to what? He'll be able what? Go coach Carson Newman?
No, but it's not like he's the one who arranged the payment for Garrett.
That's I know that Bear.
It's Saban's Cabana boy, Botch Jones.
I understand that he would not be held responsible, but
stop screaming at me.
But it would make it completely impossible. You think it's hard to do your job now? Then the NCAA comes in and says, "Well, you can only sign 15 kids for the next 2 years."
They aren't going to do that. They got Will Wade on tape saying, I gave him a strong-ass offer. No way in hell they're going to hammer Tennessee like that.
Now they did it to USC.
That was 15 years ago, right?
That's a hell of a gamble to take. They hammered Ole Miss. And Hugh Freeze
that was Ole Miss. There's a reason why Tosh Lupa had to leave Alabama. It wasn't because he took Jet Brown's job.
Oh, Tosh LuPoy?
Yeah.
I like Lupa better.
That Tosh Lupa.
My name is
Alabama
Lupa.
Came out in the tray right there. That Coach Lupa, he's pretty good. I like it in your accent.
Give me a theory that makes more sense to why Jeremy Pruitt would willingly stick with Jarrett Garantano through all of this. And continue to play him.
I mean, you want me to be brutally honest? Like you said, a voluntary reaction. I mean, J.T. Shrout has a history going all the way back to high school throwing, interceptions.
So you think he's right? He J.G. gives us the best chance to win.
No, I think part of it is Pruitt's just an idiot. I'd be playing Maurer, honestly. As much crap.
Drew,
as given
am I crazy?
What's lawn dart?
What's more likely, that we're being blackmailed because Butch bought JG and we've been blackmailed 5 years later, or that Jeremy Pruitt is a complete and total moron and doesn't realize that the kid can't play, even though he's been standing there on the field for his past 25, 30 starts, whatever it's been?
I mean, like
– Hey, Drew, real quick, factor in the fact that the guy wore a neck gaiter.
Just answer my question. What's more likely, idiot or blackmail?
I think it's 50-50, honestly. Like,
are y'all drunk today? Like, are y'all still hungover from
no, I'm stone cold sober and stone cold serious.
There's no reason that JG should start this week against Alabama. Other than the fact that you know you're going to get shelled, and you're just going to throw him out there to get just detonated on.
All right, got to take our final break. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up after this.
The Drive.
All right, wrapping up the show. Overreaction Monday, which is lived up to the name. I mean, this thing's gone completely off the rails, and I probably put it there with my theory, but I stand by. I have not heard a better theory explanation as to why Garantano plays. Is he really going to start him again? Saturday,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Trey, is Garantano starting against Bama? Is that what's happening?
We'll see what happens tomorrow at practice, but yesterday he was running with the ones. You heard his comments today.
How can
–
I'm through bashing the kid, man. I'm through bashing the kid. It's not his fault.
Well, that's what I wrote in the article today. It's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That falls on the coaches, not the players.
Speaking of train wrecks, folks, if you or a loved one's been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. Wrapping up the show on an Overreaction Monday, Russell Baron Trey, Drew Nicholson, and I again just cannot believe that it's come to this, that we're back here. But I will, if, and I can't end on a positive note, so you take this for however you want to take it. I just go back to my original position, which is for all the criticism, for all the insults, for all the vitriol that we have levied at our head coach today, I'm not calling for his head. I don't think you can fire him. And even if you could, even if you had that money, even if you had a $100 million war chest and you could stroke the check, I don't necessarily think that that would be the right thing to do right now because of all the turnover we've had here. Now, if we throw up a 2-8, maybe I'm singing a different tune here in a couple of weeks. But right now, my position, guys, is that we have to save this guy, Philip Fulmer. Has to sit him down and get him to listen to reason. He's got to move on from his quarterback. He's got to move on from his offensive line coach. And he has got to commit to getting his team ready to play on a week-in, week-out basis.
Yep.
Got to save him.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, any closing thoughts?
Nope. Bill Bender will join us tomorrow.
All right, thank you, Trey.
Tune in to the Feinbaum Show in 15 minutes.
Oh, Trey's going to be on Feinbaum here in about 15 minutes. Big time. Big
advice, Trey.
Attaboy, Trey.
Hey, can you give a code word? Can you drop a dullard in there or something for us?
Go to hell, something like that.
No, you do something that's not going to get you disinvited.
Oasis.
I'll say drive a couple times, and y'all will know what it means.
Okay.
All right.
Bear, thank you.
I don't get a closing thought, Russ?
Quickly.
My closing thought is next week when Caden Martin's player of the week for stomping your West Side Rebels, stomping a mud hole in y'all's asses and walking it dry, ought to be allowed to do the
a lot of talking
North
again.
Knoxville Siding and Windows player of the week.
Huh. A lot of talking again. Talking mighty big game for a guy whose team's only beaten West Green and Chucky Doke.
We'll see, big boy.
Keep bumping them gums, Bear. Thank you, Drew.
Y'all going down.
Overtime up next, 3-6. Tomorrow, The Drive once again right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.